Tell you what, it's not hard to be fired up for God. Amen. We've got a cross, we've got the eagle, we got, you know, all these things that we can look at. And we need to keep those forefront in our thoughts in what we are doing and what God is doing with us. I want you to be encouraged. I don't want you to have the doom and the gloom. I don't want you to sit there and say, oh, well, it's over. The devil's won. The devil's not won. The devil is lost. He's just playing his cards, you know, the best that he can. And we got to be able to say, ah, no, you're a defeated foe. You're not going to destroy families of the church. You're not going to destroy the church itself. You're not going to destroy the Christian. You're not going to destroy what is that of God. Amen? What God has put his stamp on, what God has put his blood upon, the devil will not be able to remove that blood. Amen? That blood is a blood that covers, washes, cleanses, whatever we want to look at as far as what it'll do. Yes, washes us as white as snow. It's a, you know, over in the Old Testament, to have the angel of death pass through. What did they do? They put it upon the doorpost and around. The blood is that power that the world doesn't quite understand. The blood is the power that maybe he does, maybe he doesn't. The devil doesn't truly understand. But it's something that we as Christians and followers need to know, that we are under the blood. We are following the cross before us. Amen. And so don't get heebie-jeebie, whatever that means. I hope it's a good word. Sorry. But about all this stuff going on, you just stand in prayer. You just come against it, and by that of the power of God, by that of the light, I come against the darkness in the name of Jesus. Riots, destruction, things have to change in the name of Jesus. Lawlessness has to change, has to stop because of the name of Jesus, the blood of Jesus. Hallelujah. And now, it's going to come again and again, because the word of the Lord tells us these times are signs of the times, that trials, tribulations, anarchy, kids will rise up against the parents. I mean, it's going to be happening. But you know what? Just because we know it's going to happen, it doesn't mean that we sit back and say, oh, well, let's just let it happen because that's what God says is going to happen. No, but God has said, this is going to happen, but I want you to be my army. I want you to be there representing me, to stand in the place of these things, to say, there is something greater, there is something better, there is something more powerful than what's taking place in the nation and in your country today. And it's Jesus Christ. It's that of the blood of Christ. It's the cross before us. It's the power that we have. And don't let the enemy tell you that you are nothing. You are something. Don't let the 5 o'clock news say that it's just a lost cause and it's all of this and oh well. Man, oh man. Too many people have died and given their lives for this nation, for what this nation was founded upon. And we, as now that army going forth, we need to be that next level of army, that next level of battle, because those in the past battled against flesh and blood. But see, now we're into that realm of it's a spiritual battle that we've got to be aware of. We've got to have that understanding of what this is. That's why man in their thoughts, that's why it will continually not be completed, because man out there, even some good men in politics and things of that nature, or whatever the case might be, they think it's a battle within this flesh. We got to battle this. But they've got to get their eyes and understanding and to be enlightened that it's a spiritual battle. And until we as the church, as we as Christians, take this stand in the spiritual realm to battle it in the spirit, then I'm going to tell you, it is a lost cause, because if we battle it in the flesh, we will not win. But I know with him we do win. I know with him, as we stay obedient and as we stay hearing from him and listening to him, he will tell you the things to pray. He will bring organizations and people and things in this nation or around this world to bring up in your prayer life. And he will have you pray by that of the Spirit, because he's going to load us up with a lot of things and say, here's the things. And you're going to sit there at first and hear again. As man tries to battle in the flesh, we as good Christian soldiers, we begin to pray in the flesh, we think. And when we begin to pray in the flesh, guess what will happen? Have you ever got worn out praying in the flesh? Man, okay, I've been praying for 5 hours using words, battling this, what I see in the natural, battling this name, that person, this incident, that incident. I'm wore out. Well, that's what the enemy wants you to be. The devil would like you to say, Tim, just stay praying in the spirit, or praying in the flesh. You just keep praying because your flesh will wear out. But the Holy Spirit comes alive in me and saying, Tim, stop praying in the flesh. Pray in the spirit. And just begin to pray in your heavenly language. And pretty soon you'll find your prayers in the heavenly language will go from Andalia, Shandalia, Andara to another Andalia, Kando, Shandai. But you're praising and praying, praising and praying, praising and praying. Because when I'm in the natural praying, after I've gone through a litany of all the problems, I tell you what, brothers and sisters, I don't feel like praising. I'm beat down. I'm like, whoo, man, I've been to a war. God never told us to do those things like that. He says, pray in the Spirit. Because he knows our flesh will weak. He knows we'll be overtaken. And he knows, as well as the devil knows, if I do that, pretty soon I'm going to get to the point, and I don't want to break my thing. After I pray, then I'm going to sit down and I'm going, oh, I'm exhausted. I'm tired. And I'm out of the game for a day or two or three because I just exhausted everything I had Monday and Tuesday. But if I pray in the Spirit, I stay vibrant. I stay alert. I stay strengthened, because praying in the Spirit will do that. It will, as you're praying, the knees, andalia, shundalia, there's the Spirit inside of you is, it's like that's the calisthenics for the Holy Spirit in your body. If you want to push weights and all that to gain strength in your physical body, amen, you know. But if you want to gain spiritual strength, spiritual muscles, spiritual stamina, see this thing that we're on is a, It's like his word tells us already. It's not just a dash type thing. It's until you get called home to glory. It's a marathon, you know. And then they call it, I don't know, it maybe could be called a triathlon, to where you have to run, swim, bike, canoe, whatever the case is. But whatever it is, It's going to take some time. And I think for us to have that longevity and time with the Spirit of God, or for God to work in us to accomplish things, that's why he's given us this tool of the Holy Spirit. If we will just take that help, take that purpose of the Holy Spirit, to hear from him, to respond to him, to be taught by him, to hear truth by him, to pray by him. So many times we go, oh God, I've done this and this, and I can't do this any longer. Anybody been there? I can't do this any longer. I would almost believe, because I've probably heard that in my spirit when I've said things like that, that God says, I've never asked you to do it on your own, Tim. Why are you doing it on your own? That's you. That's you thinking that it's in you to do that. But he's saying, no, it's me in you to do that, and allow me to do that. If anybody's going to worry, let it be God. Okay? And I don't think God's going to be worried. But we take on worry. If anybody's going to have anxiety, let God have anxiety. But I don't think God has anxiety. If God has depression, or if you have depression because it's like, it's insurmountable, let God have depression. But it won't stay with God as depression. Because God doesn't have anxiety. He doesn't have depression. He doesn't have whatever, you know, as far as what we look at as just wearing us out. Because he's who? He's God. God of all. This week I was visiting one of the gentlemen, and we got talking about some things, and I think we even heard some things talking to today about, you know, I think Charlie said even back in the fellowship hall about, you know, about how God knew you before you were formed in your mother's womb and things like that. He knows all of us. He knows his, God knows his kids. I don't care if you're 85 years old. To God, you're a kid. That gives me hope. I can't wait to get to 85 and still be a kid. So we're still a kid, hallelujah. But as we were talking and visiting on this, as he's talking, I had my piece of paper, and I drew like columns, then I drew a line, and they're all kind of, and he's talking, he goes, do I need to, is God giving you something? Do I need to stop? I go, no, just keep talking, brother, just keep talking. And so I'm doing this, and then we're talking along the lines of how God knew things before the foundations of this earth. He knew you before he even designed and put this place into existence. God. So I put a line, and I said, John, this is like, okay, here's a timeline. Boom, here's where I was born. He knew me when I was going to be born. And I said, then I go through on my life of timeline. I'm in now, here's another blip, bloop. This is my rebirth. God knew when I was going to be reborn if I received him and I desired it. He said, it's thy will, you know, You can receive me or not. But in he knew that if everything worked out well, and if I received and if I was hearing and I was being sensitive, boom, born. You know, 15 years, 18 years, 20 years, 25, whatever the case is, 24 and a half years old, boom, rebirth. My spirit man came alive again. Now what I've got to look at, I've been reborn. Christ is in me. Now I'm on that timeline. How many here are you on God's timeline? I hope you guys know you are. God's charting your course, guys. He's got you. He's got a big file up there. Could you imagine his whiteboard? Wow. Wow. Line after line after line after line. Dot here, dot there. Dot here, dot there. But God's watching you. He's tracking you. He's tracking me. He's tracking you. Born. Ah, there's Sally. Boom. Oh, here's Sally receiving me. Boom. Reborn. Rebirth. Spirit became enlightened. Reborn. Received Christ as her Lord. Now what Sally has to do, or what Tim now has to do, is remain on that timeline. And I've got to try to say, where is that next dot of the destiny that he has for me? Okay, born again. Another 15 years goes by. Boom, he heard me. Left secular job, began to serve God. Boom, that's his timeline. Now, you and all, whatever you're doing, see, we're doing that. If you start thinking of that and thinking how God knew from the very beginning of the foundations of time, he knew when I was going to be born, before my mother's womb, all these things, I'm on this chart. We're being charted like that. Have you ever been in the hospital where they have a chart for you? And what's that chart tell them? It keeps track of your vitals. It keeps track of your improvements or how you're progressing and healing or whatever the case might be. That chart will show improvements. And that chart will show things that, they slid back. You know, whatever the rate is, you know, this or whatever they're looking at. They did better yesterday. We did this now on the test. Now they're backwards. They've regressed instead of progressed. And so many times in our life with God, I think we get into that realm of we're on that timeline and we get to here, we're doing pretty good. Something happens, whatever, life, and we regress. We go back. But hopefully, and pretty well, most people that do that in the hospitals, and all of a sudden the next day, they go again, and okay, they're doing well. But where are you at on your line with your destiny? What has God asked you to do that you've kind of put on hold? Because I got other things I want to do first, God. I want to get, it's kind of selfish. I want to please myself first, God. And then I'll do what you want me to do, okay? It's like we talked about a little bit too, about, you know, some people with believing God or no God, I don't believe God, until they come to that point in time where they're going to cry out to who, Charlie? They're probably going to cry out to who? God! They don't believe God. They don't trust him. They don't think there is. But somehow, when they see the finality of something, I don't believe in God, but let them be heading to a cliff and their brakes aren't working. I don't think they're saying, I don't believe in God, I don't believe in God, I don't believe in God. That guy, that gal that never believed in God, they're probably going to think, you know, if there is a God, I'm going to start crying out. Better to be, you know, call it out and not have it than it was always there for you, but you let it slip by. You left it on the table. So I'm sure a lot of people start crying out, oh God, save me. Then by God's grace and mercy, they're saved and they go, wow, you know, converted person, I guess, you know, hopefully anyway. But anyway, so that timeline, and it is a benefit, it behooves us, I want to just encourage you to know, please, please, please fulfill your destiny that God has for you. Don't leave it on the plate. Don't leave it on the table. Don't get to heaven and he says, well, you did okay, Tim. It was meh, you know. I mean, in the natural, if I got before God and he gave me a grade of like a C+ or something, I'd say, hey, I aced it pretty good. Because in my natural, in school, C+ was great. You know, I knew an A was way out there, you know. You got a B-. Hallelujah! I just met the honor roll, you know. So in the natural, that was pretty happy with that. But I don't want to go to God, and he goes, "Tim, you did okay." I'm like, well, now what does that mean, God? Well, this line that I was charting you on, you were about a B+ here, And then all of a sudden you got to a B, and then you got down to a D, but then you improved, you got back up to a C+. I don't know if I don't see that in God's things, but I'm just saying, this is me, because remember, I'm 85 years old, I'm still a kid. So I'm still in kindergarten. So I'm just saying, hey God, where's my milk and cookies, and where's my little knapsack? I'm ready for a nap. Kindergarten was the best years of my education. I served it so well. I learned really good in kindergarten, because to this day, I can take an afternoon nap, you know? Amen. I remember that. Yeah, went outside, had lunch. Okay, Timmy, lay down now. We'd always get our little towel out and lay it. I don't know why it was. It was just a towel on a tile floor. It wasn't really cushy, but I don't know. But yeah, I could have my milk and cookies and, you know, do whatever. Big fat crayons. Love them babies. There's times I still take crayons, and just the other day, I was supposed to meet with somebody out here, and they didn't show up, but they had some children, and so I went to the nursery, and I got some crayons and some paper to have the kids to be able to draw and do some things to kind of talk to them, and they never showed up, but I had that box of crayons, and I think when I got them out of the nursery back there, I opened them and go, crayons, yeah. Crayons, it just takes you back, man. It's like, the crayons to kids is like Calgon to that woman that needs to be released, you know, like, Calgon, man. But, you know, so I smelt the crayons, I felt like it energized me, and I went on, but I felt young again. Yeah, it's like, oh, man. But, you know, we go before God. I don't want to go before God, and he goes, Tim, you did pretty good, and I go, well, okay, God, that's pretty good. Is that better? You know, then we get into the comparison. Well, was that better than Steve, the guy behind me? You know, we always like to compare our Christian walk to somebody that's less than us, right? Because I don't want to compare it to Tom, because Tom was like ahead of me, you know. But we always, in our Christian and our thoughts, and as we're growing up, we always want to compare ourselves to the lesser. But, you know, I don't want God to say, well, you did okay, Tim, but probably in your overall life and serving me, probably about a C+ or a B. Really? I thought I sacrificed a lot, God. You know, for me personally, I was thinking. But we got to get to the thought process of what God says. And so we want to serve God. And when we get that going home to glory, we want to hear God say, well done, good and faithful servant. You have, it's going to be great. You have completed everything that I've had on your timeline. Now, it might have taken a little bit of time, but grace and mercy, I worked with you, Tim. You were supposed to, whatever, at pick an age, 37, it took until 42, but you got there, which is the main thing is, you got there, amen. That's why sometimes with people, we look at it and we go, wow, you know, at least they received Christ later on in their life. But you know what the key to that is? They did what? They received Christ. They could have received him 20 or 30 or 40 or 50 years ago when he was there for them. But because of whatever, you know, the enemy, things, life, families, whatever, doubts and things, but God's grace and mercy. And so as a church, we have to have that grace and mercy. Receive people as where they're at, amen, where they're at. It's not my job to change you guys. I feel relieved of that. Because I look around and go, I can't. Really, God? I gotta change these people here? You know, ain't going to happen, God. But no, it's like, but I can hold them up in prayer. I can hold you up in prayer. I can pray for you. I can ask God to encourage you. I can ask God to enlighten you. I can ask God to drop his spirit into you. I can ask God to do whatever. And I just want to say, God, they're yours. I'm honored and privileged to stand before you to share the things of God. But anybody, you guys could all be up here, you know? And if you were, you didn't have to wear a mask. I'm surprised we've not had more people volunteer for, I want to have a message, Pastor, because I can be maskless. But, so this probably does kind of tie into the message of the day, now that I think about it. A couple of weeks back, I had talked about obedience to God being over that of religion. Religion doesn't get you anywhere with God. Religion to God, God would say, if you've been religious, you've missed 99.9% of me, Tim, or whoever. Because I'm not a religious God. I'm a loving, caring, grace and mercy. It's like, well, God, if you can have so much grace and mercy, how come this fellowship that I was a part of, they sure didn't show much grace and mercy like you would? And he would probably say, well, no, that's because they were being religious. Oh, you know, whatever that might mean. So it's better to be obedient to God than sacrificing and being religious. Sacrifices are good in the time that they're called for, but it's not the sacrifice other than, yes, we sacrifice our lives, our time to Him. That's a sacrifice. But in some of that, it's probably more so of just being obedient. I love it when our kids were obedient. Anybody here with kids love it when your kids are obedient? Think back, you, that your kids are out of the house now. But isn't it great when you tell your child to do this or not to do this, and they listen the very first time? Wow. Has that ever happened in your lives with your kids? You know, well, kind of, sort of. No, 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 not really, no. It took a few times of, do this, please do this. But obedience, as much as you gain from that when your kids here on this earth are obedient, or you know, here again, I'm even for us that have our kids are out, grandkids or whatever, I mean, it's just great if they're obedient when you tell them something and they say, okay. You go, wow, that's great. And it makes me feel great, you know. It's like, well, they listened and they obeyed. And I'm hoping that they're doing that, because I hope what I get into here is when we do this to obey, it's not to say that, well, because they carry a big stick and they're going to spank me. I want to obey God is because I love God. See, if we love something or someone enough, we will pretty well be obedient to what they've asked of us. Because it's like, I'm going to do that. You know why? Because I love them. It's just cut and dried. I love them. That's why I'm going to do it. So continuing looking at this word obedient with the relationship to obedience to that of our God. Looking back at obedience, and I had this a few weeks back, but quickly reminding, we're going to look at what does obedience look like, what our actions will reflect a person's obedience, and will obedience cost us? And it does cost us. Obedience to God does cost you. I'm not going to say it's easy. Anybody here believe it's easy to be obedient to God? It's not. Is our obedience due to we have to do it? Well, that's what God wants. I guess that's what I'll do. Fine. But you do it stamping your feet, stomping out, or doing whatever, hitting the table. Oh, guess if that's what God wants, that's what I'm going to do. That's not being obedient. That's being rebellious. Because you're not doing it in love. It's got to be that of love. Definition of obedience, an act or an instance of obeying. So let's look at that word obeying. Obeying is to follow the commands or guidance. All we need to be obedient to God is to follow His commands or follow His guidance. For us that have walked this now for some time, being filled with the Holy Spirit, being guided by who? The Holy Spirit. The obedience comes through that. We should, he that has ears to hear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying. And as we hear these things, we need to adjust our lives, adjust our time, adjust whatever we're doing to be obedient to what He's asked us to do, so that we come off of our timeline and get down to God's timeline for my life. To follow the commands or the guidance, to conform to something, or to comply with something. We need to conform to what God has asked us to do, or we need to comply to it. To be compliant is something I shared a few weeks back. We find a lot of times in our society of today, and I think you know where I'm coming from, but probably a large, large percentage of the problems that we have going on right now is too many people are not compliant to authority. And when you are not compliant to authority, I'm going to tell you what, bad things happen. When individuals, men and women, take up that of law enforcement, take an oath to protect the Constitution of the United States, the next oath they take as they're being sworn in, protect the Constitution of the state they're in, that of the state of Wisconsin. The next part of the oath they take is to uphold the ordinances and whatnot of the city that they reside in or that they are officers in. They're protecting the Constitution of the country, the Constitution of the state, and the ordinances and Constitution, I suppose, of that of the city they're in. And what the city has mandated as, these are laws to follow, these are things that you do, you break the law or whatever, and you will probably be given a ticket or something, or talk to. And so they've been given this charge to do these things. And most of the times that I see things go awry It's because somebody wasn't compliant to somebody asking them to do something. And once we become non-compliant, things are going to go south. But we find that today in our society, it's okay not to listen to authority. Because these same ones that are not listening to authority of today, they probably did not listen to the authority of their parents as they were growing up. Or their parents says, you don't have to listen to anybody. Because as parents, I didn't listen. Nobody's going to tell me what to do. Oh, yeah? See, people don't understand. They've been raised now for how many decades with that thought process. Nobody has to tell me what to do. My parents even told me that. You don't have to listen to this person. You don't have to listen to your teacher. You don't have to listen to the principal. You don't have to listen to your boss. And they've taken it to heart. Out of all the things their parents have told them, the one thing they remembered is, my mom or dad said, I don't have to do that, you know. It's probably not the only thing they've ever remembered their parents have said. So we have disobedience. We have noncompliance. But now I can look at this in the things of God. And we got to have that same thing. We've got a lot of disobedient Christians. We have a lot of possibly noncompliant Christians. Oh, they go and they do a good thing. They go to church. They carry a Bible. They do this. They do that. They know scriptures. They can do all these things. And we're looking on the outside and we're saying, great. Wow, they're awesome. But if we were thinking with that of God, and I'm not perfect, okay? I am still learning in my areas of my life with God to be more compliant. What is that? To be more obedient. So we're all on that. But if we don't address it to the point of saying, you need to look at yourself as I look at myself to find out, are you being compliant? Are you being obedient? Is your obedience to that of God when you do it because you love Him? Or you do it because, well, might as well just do it and get it done with. You know? Do we stamp our feet when we say, okay, God, whatever you want? Or do we go, hallelujah, Lord, whatever you want, I love you. I'll do it. The church itself has to look at this as far as compliant or non-compliant. Do we obey or not obey? So we look at to follow the commands or the guidance, to conform to or comply with. So let's explore this. Obedience is instant. Obedience is instant. You cannot be obedient if your mom or dad says, clean up your room, and you don't clean it up until, you know, 3 days later. Because you're doing it at your time, when it's comfortable for you. Now, if that's the case, when God asks me to, Tim, clean up your life, and I go, I'll do it 10 or 15 years from now. That's not being obedient. That's being, I'm going to put God on my timetable, and then I will work it out. And then I'm going along, and all of a sudden I'm going, why am I having such a hard life right now? Because I'm in disobedience to what God has asked me to do. Now, we have to kind of look at this, because I don't want you to walk out of here today saying, because I got bad things happen, oh no, I'm being disobedient. It's not that at all. There's a lot of things that factor into all of this stuff, okay? There's things that how the enemy wants to get in and muck up stuff. Anybody here believe the devil's in trying to muck up some of your life? Oh well, that's life. But I'm going to soar with wings of eagles. I'm going to rise above that. Because of who I've got in my corner, who I've got in my life, who I'm following, who I want to be obedient to. I might go through some of this stuff, but I will come through it. Hallelujah. But anyway, looking at disobedience, it's not that I will do it later or when I have the time. I tried that with God, and I didn't like how He answered me. To be obedient, it may cause you to change something in your life in order to start obeying what that is that He's asked. Can you believe that? We might have to change something in our life to follow what God has asked us to do. Chances are you will. Brothers and sisters, when God comes in and says, do this, it's probably going to say, man, that's a turn that I wasn't expecting. Obedience is without a question. But God, what? I've got to obey that? Would you go tell my friend, you know, Dan or Steve or Bob or somebody else to do it? Pass the buck, you know? Hey. Obedience is without question. Being obedient at the time may not make sense. And it doesn't. Of many things that God has asked sometimes me to do things, has it ever, are you like me that it doesn't make sense at first? Tim, quit your job and serve me. That don't make sense. Tim, do this and do that. Well, that don't make sense, God. I don't have that. I don't understand that. I don't have the training. I don't have the teaching. I don't have this. Whatever it is. But it's obedience without question. But to obey what is asked and to simply do it. That's that timeline we're on. This timeline that he has us on. As I follow his path, as I follow what he has for me, I already know that it's going to work out. Do you guys already know that? Do you know that as you are on his path, on the timeline in your life, it may look crazy right now. It may look foggy. It may look rainy. There might be thunderstorms. There could be a hurricane in your path right now. But do you know even hurricanes pass? Tornadoes blow in and blow out. You know, sometimes I've read articles sometime back where it says, actually, it's not for the people where it affects them, I guess, per se, but for the generality of atmospheric conditions, tornadoes and hurricanes are actually good. Because it air changes and changes and changes the whole airflow and brings fresh air, and it changes up things atmospherically. So it's bad for the people that it affects, but there is something that's beneficial out of it. It's kind of like, what the devil meant for bad, God will turn for good. Obedience may cost. The cost could be your time, your comfort, your relationship, your finances, your convenience, your status, your reputation. The person will obey even when it hurts. To obey, an obedient person will obey no matter what. So obedience is instant. Obedience is without question. Obedience might cost you. Obedience does not question the benefit. Now, we like that. Generally, when you talk to people out there and say, hey, could you do this for me and help me with this or whatever, a lot of times somebody might say, well, what do I get out of it? Well, what do you mean, what do you get out of it? I thought you were here to help me. You mean I got to, sweeten the pot? I got to give you extra finances? I got to give you whatever, keys to the boys' room or the VIP restroom or something like that? I don't know. What do you mean, what do you get out of it? I thought you wanted to help me. I came and I told Pastor Hoblet, I said, well, here's my mission, Pastor. I'm just to help you. God says, help you fulfill the call that he has on your life and to help you complete what he wants you to do. I was kind of like tying into his timeline. My timeline was just to be on his timeline to say, help him get whatever he wants done. If he wants a park outreach, work on getting volunteers to do it. If he wants to go to the fair, help him get the strategies of it and all the things covered and make sure you've ordered, like 250 cases of water. So we always have water, whatever the case is. But I told Pastor Hoblet, it doesn't make sense to me, but he says, I'm just here to help you fulfill what he has for you to do. So I didn't go into it to say, God, well, hey, God, if I do that, what do I get out of it? It's like, I just need to be obedient. Obedient. I just need to comply. Follow the guidance what God has told me to do. Because somewhere early on in my walk with God, it's like, you know what? If I can help him fulfill what God has for him, somebody down the road might be the same thing for me. You know, is that what we look at in the life's examples of pay it forward? We pay it forward because we want to be a blessing, or we want to pay for the next two cars Happy Meals at McDonald's or whatever. Say, hey, here's what did they order behind me? Oh, it's this. How much was it? It's $12.95. Well, here's $15. Just tell them it's paid for. Whatever the case is, we pay it forward. We do it as a blessing. We just do it because maybe God has asked us to do it. And I've had to learn this still today. Sometimes it's like, oh man, do I really need to? Anybody been there? God, is that what you told me to do? But do I need to do it now? Can't I do it? My time? This week I went to a quick trip to get some gas for the lawnmowers. While I was there, I was filling those up and filled up the van. And I'm there. I'm just about done. And all of a sudden, this guy appears. I go, I know where this is going. Anybody been to a gas station or somewhere and somebody comes up to you and they look like, they need help. Why did you pick me, I didn't have a van that had a cross on it. I didn't wear, my collar and all that, which I don't have a collar, So I look up, how can I help you? Yeah, and he goes into a spiel. So I said, well, I tried to chase him off. Is that bad for the pastor to do that? Hey, being honest, I'm learning obedience with you guys. Don't ever put me on if you're here, I'm here. Don't ever say, well, gosh, I'm here, and Pastor must be here because he makes me feel like I'm here. No, brothers and sisters, we're here. I'm right next to you. I'm right or left of you, man. So So he comes up needing some help. So I throw this at him. I said, "Hey, that's great. I'll try to help you." I said, "How about this?" I said, "I'm a chaplain with the police department in Janesville." I said, "I'll call a police officer, and he'll come down here, and maybe we'll try to find some help for you." He goes, "Well, I'm on, I don't know, something like that. I got to talk to my parole officer tomorrow." Well, that didn't scare the guy off. I was like, "Well, I ain't going to go nowhere." Because I've done that in town, and when I've been waiting for Dean at the ESC downtown, and somebody will come up wanting some money or something like that, and I'll say, "I'll be glad." I said, "Hey, how about it?" And I explained what I said. "I'll be glad to help you. Let me call one of our officers, and we'll you know, have him come, and we'll see if we can't find some help for you in town or a you know place to stay." And boy, as soon as you say police, they're out of there, man. "Forgive me, Father. Forgive me, Lord. I'm trying to be obedient. But it just doesn't seem opportune at times. It's just, I don't have time to do this. I don't want to get..." Oh, well. Okay, so anyway, I'm learning. So he says that. "Oh, okay, well, so what do you really need?" I said, "I will not give you money." He goes, "Well, I just need some gas on my truck." "Oh, where's it at?" "Oh, it's down at the pump." "Okay." I said, "Let me finish my business here. I'll come down, and we'll just put gas in your truck for you." So I did that, and he says, "Well, how much do I put in it?" I don't know. "I don't know. Just keep putting it in until whatever, I don't know." I said, "I don't, just whatever." I said, "How big is your tank?" He goes, "I don't know." Ding, 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 you know. I said, "Okay, Lord, it's just going to go, whatever it stops at, I don't care." So actually, the guy got to the point, and he stopped it himself. I said, "Whatever you want to put in it, fill the tank, whatever." I said, "Just fill it what you think." So he did. He was appreciative and all that. He actually gave me a paper to verify who he was, because he had been given a warning for over the speed limit at the town of Beloit just that morning. He goes, "Well, here's the paper I got today for going fast." "Yeah, it's all you. It's a truck. Yeah, that's you." Anyway, so I said, "Hey, are you thirsty? Are you hungry or thirsty?" He goes, "Oh, man, I'm thirsty." I said, "Want me to get you like an iced tea or something like that, you know?" "Oh, that'd be great. Just anything cold." So I said, "Well, pull up to the thing and I'll go in." He didn't want anything to eat per se, but I got there and I got him an iced tea. And because I went there to get something for myself, so I thought, anyway, so I got him an iced tea, something to eat, went out to the truck, gave it to him, said, "Hey, I know you didn't say you want anything to eat, but if you're hungry, here's something, here's this." So he was appreciative. And it's like, okay. So, but I'm going to tell you, initially, I didn't want to do it. I was hot Thursday. It was like heat index of like 92 or 3 or 99, and I was out here cutting the weeds in the parking lot to get ready for sealing of the blacktop, and I was just whippered, man. And anyway, I just wanted to go get gas, bring it out here, and go home. I didn't want to do it. I could have said, "No, I can't help you," but there's something there. Even as much as I tried to, kind of ricochet it off of me, I don't think God wanted me to ricochet it off of me. I tried all the things I could. I said, "Okay." So we went through the steps, and we did all of that. Then it made me feel like a criminal because I forgot. I walk into Quick Trip, I'm halfway into the store, and I'm looking around. Everybody's got masks on but me. Oh, I'm a criminal. I was about ready, okay. Check me for weapons, lock me up, I'm a criminal. These masks have made us start feeling like I'm a criminal when I go in and I forget I got a mask. I don't have a mask on. Halfway through the store, here's where I'm at. I am not going out to get a mask. I am thirsty, I'm hot, I am not going out there. And I looked around, I saw one or two other guys without masks. I go, "Well, I'm right with them." So I got our stuff, went out. So I know one of the girls that's at the counter there, and she looked up at me, you know, and I go, so she kind of laughed and smiled and went on our way. But we tried to defer a lot of things when God asked us to do things, because I want to do it on my time, when I feel like it. Anybody been there? I just want to do, I'll serve you, God. Oh, anything you want, Lord. But, you know, give me like a 24-hour notice and let me see if it's on my schedule, okay? It does not question the benefit. What's in it for me? What is the benefit of my obedience now? What will I gain from it? Obedience is complete. Obedience is being obedient not just half of the way, but not just 80% of the way, but it's to be obedient 100% of what he's asked you to do. To complete the task to the best of your ability. That's hard too. It's hard to be fully compliant to to be fully obedient. It does take something of you to do that. Because our human nature is, I don't have the time, I don't have the energy, I don't feel like it. It just doesn't work into my what I want to do right now. And, you know, Lord, if you had asked me to do this last week or maybe next week, I could do it, but I can't do it today. No. When God has asked you to do something, and it's that day, I'm going to tell you, you better say, okay, Lord, I've got this I got to do, but I will fulfill this, but I don't know, it's going to push me short of time here or whatever. Have you ever found that as you are obedient to the things of God, that you end up having extra time somewhere? Or it does work out after all? What you thought was going to take 2.5 hours, that's what you built in your calendar. Oh, now I've done this for you, God. It's going to tie me up, and it's probably going to take me, you know, I'm going to be, instead of getting done by 3, it's probably going to be 3:45. So you do this, obedience to God. You get in to do what you're going to do. And instead of taking an hour and a half, maybe it's like 25 or 35 minutes, and it's done. You go, wow. Matter of fact, you just didn't meet the time at that same time. You might have gained an extra 35 or 45 minutes extra that you go, well, wow, I've got that much time. It's on to something else. It's like, because our human nature is, I've got an extra 45 minutes, I can do something extra now. No. Just cool your jet. Have anybody ever told your kids, cool your jets? What does that mean? Cool your jets. You know? Stop. Sit. Slow down. I'm working on that. I'm getting better. I love so much to just have a cup of coffee and sit outside here and listen to the birds. But it's just like you come out here and you just relax and just see nature, see nothing. But as God, and we're obedient to Him and we end up extra time, find time to relax and to just sit for 10 or 15 minutes and just say, thank you, God. Thank you, God. I love you, God. You don't even need to pray. Just sit there and just entertain His presence to say, this is great. And then usually when it's kind of a craziness like that, you look around and you go, you see nature. And you see the, I had told you when I was at this one training a few weeks back and somebody had asked, how do you find time to relax and where do you find that time? And when I said, I sit out at the church just in the quiet time because we're out in the country, and I just want to hear from God. Okay, next. This guy's a cuckoo. It's complete. You got to be 100%. When God asks you to do something, you do it to the best of your ability, the what He's strengthened you, what He's prepared you to do, but you do it completely. Anybody like a job half done? Anybody given a task to somebody to do for you, and you come back, and it's not really done totally? It's like, well, why? I ask you, this is what I wanted. And, well, I know, but I really didn't think it was necessary to do this part of it. Oh, okay. Well, if that wasn't necessary, I wouldn't have asked you, okay? Be complete with God, 100% obedience. Obedience is with that of the right heart. The right heart is this. You obey out of, I started out, with love. Don't fulfill obedience with a rebellious heart. Don't be there angry at God. Don't be irritated. I've been there. It doesn't get you very far, you know? All of a sudden, His calm, soothing voice comes across. I might go on, oh, in my, you know, I'm in myself, I'm having these talks within my head. Oh, man, God, rah, rah. And all of a sudden, His little, quiet little voice says, Tim, you know, and I go, what? And He gets my attention just with a normal conversation that He's having with me. But do it with that of the right heart, not a rebellious, not an angry heart. Don't be irritated. Love is why we become obedient. We find that in John 14:15 says, look, Jesus says, if you love me, you will obey my commands. If you love me, you will obey him. We are to be motivated in our obedience by what? The love that we have of our Lord. The love of what he has done for us. Knowing us as sinners and where we were at, he gave his life so that we could be reconciled back. The love that God had to send us Jesus Christ to die for us. The love he has for us to stick with us. Has anybody here felt like you've really tried God at times and God has stuck with you through thick or thin and you've wondered, how could you be that loving, God? You know, I'm a rascal. How can you? Wow. And I imagine he would say, because I love you, Tim. Because I see the things that you can accomplish if you will just listen to me, be obedient to me, and just follow what I've asked you to do. Okay, God. We obey him because of this. His love compels us. Has the love of somebody towards you in this natural time, has that ever compelled you to go that extra mile with them to help them through something, you know, in the natural, in life and as a whole? Generally, I think in times when somebody has been very helpful to us, or they really, you feel like they've really put themselves out of time and energy or whatever to help you, it's like, man, oh man, they must really love me to sacrifice their personal time, time to talk to me, time to make time for me. But his love compels us because he first loved us. He died on the cross for our sins. So our response to him should be loving back. Amen. For he gave love. We need to love him back. John, 1 John 4:19. We love because he first loved us. It's easy. He didn't love us to get something out of us. But I think he gave us that trueness of love because he loved us. And we've got to get to that point to where I love him enough. And I've said this several times. I don't know what more God could give me that he's not already given me by that of Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, to give me the cleansing of sins, to give me the righteousness of his, to give me back into a reconciliation relationship with God, to let me know that when I get called home, I'm going back to heaven, to a place that Jesus says I go to prepare for you. I look at that already, folks, and I go, I don't know what more I really need God to do for me. How about you? But I have things that I know that God continues to do for me. Because why? I think because he loves me. Because God wants to shower us with blessings. He wants to take care of his children. I'm a child at 85, 65, 32, 105, whatever I am. I want to be his child. And let him shower blessings upon me. Hallelujah. But for me to sit there and say, oh God, I want this, I want this, I want this. I just get to the point where it's like, I don't know, Lord. You have loved me enough already. But God says, but I've got more for you, Tim. So much more. And it's just waiting for you. Don't leave it on the table. Don't leave it on. I used to tell people like that, if somebody says, well, you don't need to pray for me. I said, well, if you're praying for them, just send all their blessings my way then. I'll take, you know, things that are left over or things that are not taken by other people, because I'll take your blessings if you're not going to take them. You know, I don't want to be stingy, but hey, I just know God. I want to be just, but I say, I don't even know what more I could ask of him because of Jesus Christ already. We fear him. Not that we are scared of him, but we are reverent towards him. That's a thing that people look at, but we are reverent towards him. Understanding who he is and reverently fearing that a loss of relationship with him. You know, have you ever gotten to that point in your life to where you say, God, I don't want to lose what I have with you. You know, as we go through things in life and struggles and whatnot and things, but we get to that and it's like, Lord, please. What I have with you right now, I don't want to lose because I love you. And I know you love me. You don't have to tell me anymore, Lord, because I already know your love for me. I just need to keep confessing my love to you, showing my love to you, doing things for you to show that, Lord, I love you. I think sometimes if we get into times of prayer and all that, a lot of times sometimes you'll hear, all I say is, Lord, I love you. Lord, we love you. Lord, we love you. Lord, I love you. Lord, love, I love you, Lord. I love you, Lord. Because I think God knows a lot, of course. But he knows when it's a true love, he knows what that is. Because he loved us so much that he gave his only begotten son to die for us. So I think in my spirit, my thoughts and things, is that when I tell God, I love you, I love him to that point of knowing that he loved me. And that's kind of a common language with God, isn't it? Love, love, love. And it's not that love of what I can get out of you, God. It's that love of God, I love you for who you are. Oh, the reverence. It says this, the Lord commanded us to obey all these decrees and to fear the Lord our God so that we might always prosper and be kept alive. Deuteronomy, I think it is 6:24. But we do these things because God tells us to live long and to prosper. Obey me. Follow these things that I told you. You know, we've got all of this in his word that tells us the ways to live. And if we could just do those things, there will be blessings and there will be things and provisions given to us to sustain us and to get us through. Now, realization is realizing what, you know, people are going through a lot of struggles, right? You know, we all know different family members and things that are dealing with family members and struggles. Think of it this way. When we are saying, but I'm a follower of Christ, I minister His word, I pray for others, I do this, and I've got this going on in my life, a loved one, a relative, a family member, this or that, and how difficult it is. But just think, how much more difficult would it be if Christ wasn't in your life right now? You're going through hell right now, maybe, but you're going through it with that of Christ with you. There might have been when you were on your own power 25, 30, 40, 50 years ago, you wouldn't have lasted. You just wouldn't have handled it. But because of being that of a follower of Christ, Christ in your life, we're going through trials, we're going through tribulations, we're going through adversities. Thank God I've got God on my side, because if it wasn't here with me, I don't know how I would handle it, you know? But because of the power of God in my life, because of the strength that He has in me, it doesn't make sense, I don't like it, it hurts me, it upsets me, whatever the case might be. But thank God, I love God, and God loves me, and He is going to be with me in this, through this. And Lord, we're going to stay together, and there's going to be a good outcome, a positive outcome. But you know what? It's going to be a God outcome. Whatever it is, it's going to be a God outcome, because I am in with you, and you are in with me. And God, here we are together. We're going toe-to-toe. I'm anchored with you, and you're anchored with me. As a follower of Christ, you will have problems. You will have things happen. He tells us that. But sometimes we get to that point and we forget to think about, wow, what would it be like if I wasn't a child of God? How would I be able to be this strong? How would I have been able to make it these many years? How could I have? And so think on that. That He's there with you. He's in that boat with you. He's on that rough sea with you, you know? And I know it's easier said than done, but you know, back in the times when He was on that boat with His disciples, generally He was resting and relaxing and just letting the waves rock Him to sleep, because He has power over all things. So if we know He's got power over all things, we should be able to cast our cares upon Him. Like Linda, this past week I was talking to Linda, and I was telling her, I think I might have said something like, you know what, Linda, there's times I feel like I just hit the wall. Anybody feel like you just hit the wall at times in a week? Or, and that was like on Tuesday, wasn't I talking to you? Or Monday? Monday. It was Monday, you just came off a Sunday? It's like Monday or Tuesday, and I go, I feel like I've hit the wall. This hike, yeah. But if I could get to that thing and say, okay, Lord, I'm in your boat, or you're in my boat, and then I'm going to tell you what, Lord, if you can find time to rest, I'm going to find time to rest. But we have to find time to rest in Him in the midst of the storm. We have to find time to soar like that of an eagle over those problems. Last week or two or back or something, I said something like, we have got to rise up and have the vision to see the problems from where God sees them and not where you're in the middle of the battle, because in the middle of the battle it's disoriented. All I can see, if I just focus on this group right here, I'm just focused on them, I don't see you guys. But we got to rise above the problem on wings like that of eagles, and we got to soar into the depths or the heights of what God is about, and we got to be able to look down and trust Him to handle those things. He's got, you think of the eyesight of that of the eagle, how he can see for miles that little rodent running through the field. All of a sudden, the eagle's up there flying around, and he's looking, ooh, over there, about, I don't know how far they see, what, about a mile, 2 miles? But he sees that rodent, that squirrel, or whatever down there, boom, he sees it. All of a sudden, he just goes, shoo. We got to soar like that of an eagle. Let God take us above those circumstances, those problems. And we just got to go on the wave of the air current that God has for us. I'm going to tell you, when we get down into the world's air currents, the air in the world is polluted. Think of that, polluted. We got to rise above. Well, we've run out of time. Do you find that surprising? We only got to, we obey Him because. I had a few more things to share here. We got to share this. We got to keep on this obedience thing. And then again, I'm going to just finish with this here, about we long to demonstrate our love to Him by obeying Him. We started out with John 14:15. I want to look in the areas of, if that is what obedience looks like, how is your obedience? We need to look at these things about turning our ears and our hearing of the laws. And it's not much more after that, but probably one more Sunday. And I want to get into an area here. And this is just like an article that I found on a praise article about the things that we ought to do. And it talks about being prayer, obedient to God as a priority, working and sharing, graciousness and speech, walking with God, all these things of obediences and stuff like that that I just found online somewhere. And I want to kind of read through that, and maybe God will help us kind of move in that and share a little extra. Well, anyway, good service, I hope, and be obedient, and we'll let you out of here, and we'll come back for a little bit next week, I suppose. Let's pray, and then offerings and giving, feel free just to drop it in the basket back there. Thank you for being obedient. Obedient in giving. Amen. See, in God's spectrum of things, there's a lot of things tied into obedience. You know, your time, your talent, your giving. And one good thing about it with me, like how I say, I don't take, you know, I might say I hit the wall, but I turn a lot of things over to God. It's just like, it's all in your hands, God, you know. And work with our people, bless them, encourage them, protect them, meet their needs. Finances, health, whatever it might be. Heavenly Father, we just thank you again for the day, the time that you have put before us. Lord, I pray something, Lord, of you came out of this today and will touch and minister into our lives this day, this week, Lord. I pray it'll come back into our hearts, our spiritual ears, Lord. We'll hear these things again. Father, I thank you that of your word being true, being vibrant, being real, being effective for us today. Thank you for it. Bless each one here now. Bless them in their areas of finance. I rebuke that of the devourer, Lord, that would try to steal their finances. We just pray, Lord, right now that you would just give them blessings, give them provisions, meet every need financially, spiritually, physically, Lord. I pray healing, Lord, for us. Again, Lord, for this body of believers here, I pray against anything of COVID-19, Lord. I pray divine health, perfect health over our bodies, our lungs. Protect the kids, the adults, whatever, Lord. It's all of us, Lord. Just heal us and keep us strong. And I pray that and ask that now, Lord, in Jesus' name. And I thank you also for that which is given. Bless this day, Father. Amen and amen. God bless.